This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Are the Cubs open for business? 312-332-3776. And what does the signing of Marcus Stroman mean for the 2022 Cubs? Like, are you excited? Like, I think it's cool. Again, doesn't mean that they're going to the World Series, but it's a good start. And it's a smart business decision. There's no trade clause. So if you wanted to ever move on, he's a quality arm, you could trade him and get something back. But if you go out and get Carlos Correa, now you're sending a real flare up that we're in. We're trying to win.
So how many years do you think he'll be here? Because I think I'm for the Stroman signing because now you have a 1-2 punch in your rotation. But it's hard for you to be able to be viable as a starter on this team when you have no offense. Now you're back to square one again. Now you're back to trying to win games with two runs or less. I mean, where's the real pop and power in this lineup? Is Hayward going to have a renaissance? I don't see it. Right? Is Wilson Contreras going to be here for opening day? You're not going to get that from the great Yan Gomes. So what's the point of all of this? If you're going to do it, don't do it half-assed. I'm talking about stripping it down to its studs.
Correct.
Do it the right way. I'm not for it. I've said this to you many times, Cap. In this city, in the city that you and I grew up in, you should not have to tank. Shouldn't have to do it. But we have seen it on for all the teams in this city. Everybody's done it. I don't believe in it because I always think that you should have a commitment to winning to Chicago. That's what I believe.
So are you telling me that Marcus Stroman didn't get assurances from Jed, we're trying to get this thing turned as fast as we can?
Oh, you can say anything you want to a free agent. I mean, it's just like, right, yeah, we're trying.
But if you're
going
to trade Wilson Contreras the first opportunity you get, and you're not going to sign anybody else, all you do is have a disgruntled guy on your team.
Well, I think that might be the case anyway, pal. I think that's going to happen anyway because this team's good. If they don't make any more significant moves, that's a 90-loss ball club.
No question. That's why I'm saying you're telling me that he did not get some assurance from Jed. Hey, man, we may not have a $300 million payroll, but we're going to be very active, and we're trying to get this thing turned now. Okay, I'm in.
I think that's why the two-year out is there, right, for both sides, because if they don't turn it around, then you have somebody at a pretty decent rate, $25 million, that you can flip.
Yes.
Or
yes.
He can say, see ya, you guys said you were going to build around me, and you didn't.
So on the front end, of course, you want to be able to bolster your starting rotation by having Stroman and Hendricks as a 1-2 punch. However, because you don't have anyone of significance at second or at shortstop or in center field, I mean, there's too many holes to fill to say we're going to turn around in 2 or 3 years. Even though Jed did tell us this will be a quick fix, I don't look at that depth chart. Look at it.
It's not good right now.
I mean, unless you're telling me that your cornerstones are Wisdom and Stroman and Hendricks and Hayward, what is that really? And Ian Happ, what does that really say for the next 3 years?
Nothing.
The team has to turn all the way over, Cap. Outside, well, I won't say all the way over because Nico Horner is part of your future too, right?
Yeah, they're going to. What Jed told me is they're planning on using him as a mini Chris Bryant. He's not the power that Chris Bryant was. Hey, we need you in center, we need you at short, we need you at second. Can you play third for a day? Like, he'll play all over the diamond.
You didn't sidebar my approach.
You may. Brought to you by our friend Howard Ankin, Ankin Law, 3126 million.
You didn't say this on the air, but you told me off the air about Chris Bryant. Why didn't Chris Bryant stay with the Giants?
They were not thrilled with his defense, and they did not feel like it was this, that's a gamer, man. No.
Holy bleep. That's all he was for the Cubs, is the versatility all over the diamond.
Right.
And he wasn't good enough defensively for him.
It's a lot bigger outfield out there than it is in Wrigley.
I understand that. Wait just a second. But he played on the road, too. Hold on a second.
How come they're not re-signing him?
I think we know why they're not re-signing him.
They don't think he's that tough a guy.
Holy bleep.
Like, I had the agent I was talking to yesterday, we were talking about Chris. He said he's never going to come close to the money he turned down from the Cubs, which Chris has now acknowledged. Yeah, after the World Series, they did offer me an extension.
Oh, is that quoted someplace? Where is that? Could you show me that?
You can find it on there. Yeah.
Really?
It's so interesting on the morning we're talking about Marcus Stroman and mental health that you're sitting here calling Chris Bryant less than something. You're implying something here, aren't you?
No, we're not implying anything. Not implying anything. Some guys are, they'll play through any injury, play through it. That's just not who Chris is. Chris is a wonderful guy. He's a really good dude. He's a really good baseball player. He's not the guy that you would go, man, that guy's out there playing. Like Anthony Rizzo got out there. They said he's done for the year with that ankle. What did he do? Take Jack Flaherty deep. Everyone's like, Rizzo's in the lineup? How's he playing on that ankle?
Yeah.
That's not who Chris is.
I see.
He's not built for New York, Chicago, Boston, or Philly. He's just not.
I just find that fascinating that one of the reasons why the Giants didn't keep him is because of his lack of defense. When the guy could play all three outfield positions, third, first, short, if you asked him to do it. That's amazing.
He's sitting out there. And supposedly it's the Blue Jays, Mariners, Rockies. All three are not markets where you've got 52 microphones in your face, and it's intense every single day.
JR, I think he's calling him soft. What do you think?
I think that's what you're implying there, Cap. Come out and say it. Go ahead.
I'm not calling him soft. I'm not. When you win an MVP in Major League Baseball, you're a really wonderful player.
That's my argument, remember? You keep the MVP and the Rookie of the Year, the one that you raised yourself. Why wouldn't you want Chris Bryant on
your team? Not re-sign him. I would not.
Why?
Because I don't think he's built for this market. I don't. I think he's going to be a good player. Very good. You're giving him north of $200 million?
I didn't put a number on it. What I said was he could play for my team.
Okay. Again, are you giving him the money he's looking for north of $200 million?
You just said he couldn't play in this market. He can't play in this market, right?
I didn't say that. I said I don't think he's built for this market. I don't. I think he's better in a smaller market. That's all I said.
And what about the White Sox? Now you got the lockout, unfortunately, and you can't get the second baseman or left-handed pop that you want.
But again, after you know this CBA, you may find bargains and go, whoa! Do you see who they just signed? Look how much money they saved.
Hopefully there'll be a spring training. Will there be a spring training? Will there be an opening day?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
That's what sucks.
I trust Rick Hahn, and he's built you a really good team.
Why'd you slow play it all this time? There was an easy bake oven. It wasn't a hot stove league for the White Sox. What the hell happened there?
Because they don't want to extend themselves on a long, long deal and then go, we should have waited till the rules were clear. That's what the Yankees are doing, the Red Sox, the Giants, the Dodgers, in large part the Cubs. Like all these, the Braves. Like these teams with money are all waiting. We want to know the rules.
Rangers didn't wait. That's a major market.
And they suck.
Well, we'll see. Well, they suck find now. Out. Yeah, they had to do something, man. They were at the bottom last year, right?
Right. They got a new stadium. Mm-hmm. They suck. And they may wake up and go, oh, we spent $500 million on two guys? Were we nuts? Kenneth in University Village. Hello, Kenneth.
What's up,
Doc? Go Flames!
What's new?
How are you?
So, we can't get too excited about the Cubs now. It's a good signing, but, you know, I think the main thing is with the lockout, you know, who knows what's going to happen. And, you know, you mentioned Rizzo. He's still out there. So, I mean, I don't even know if that's possible signing for the Cubs.
Not even a chance?
No. Okay. And then you talked about, some Schwarber. Of these other signs, Bryant. You know, it goes back to mental health, right? I mean, I agree with you. I don't think a major market is good for Bryant, right? I think a mid-sized market matches his personality. And it goes back to what you guys were saying from a mental health standpoint. Some guys can't take it. It doesn't mean that they're soft. it just means that they can't take a big market, right? I mean, look at Ben Simmons, right? There's a lot of mental health going on there. And, you know, if you ask my dad, he said these kids are soft. Well, they're not soft. Mental health is an issue, and it needs to be talked about. So, just wanted to chime in about that. Cap, I haven't heard you in a while, man. You go on vacation every 2 weeks.
What are you talking about? I've been on every day.
Yeah, I haven't heard you in a while. You've been on vacation, taking days off. Isn't that right, Hoodie?
Well, that is true, but I need you to save your voice for tonight. I don't know why you're on the line now. You need to save your voice for tonight at 7 o'clock with me.
Yeah, get your...
Well, you know, I gotta get on the phone with two pros so I can make sure my voice is good tonight. So,
Kenny, have a great day, man.
You too, guys. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you.
My broadcast partner, we're going to have a good time. Horizon League starts tonight.
There you go.
Your guy, Greg Campy.
In Oakland against UIC.
Greg Campy, who's been the head coach there since the Reagan administration.
Let's go to...
84.
Austin in Davenport. Hey, Austin, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How you doing? Happy Thursday to you.
Happy Thursday, Austin.
What's up? Well, this is what's up. I think this Marcus Stroman kid is very good signing, but it kind of feels like an Edwin Jackson kind of feel when we signed him before we got good. Uh-huh. And I don't know, I think it's kind of as a signing to appease the complaining gods out there, because these people in the front office of the Cubs have got to be getting hammered for their lack of activity. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a distraction. I think the market started moving more than a lot of teams thought. And we appreciate your call, Austin. And I think Jed looked and went, okay, all these guys are going off the board. We got to pivot here. We've got a shot to get one of the three best starters that was available. Let's get this guy locked in. Don't give him a no-trade clause, but we'll give him $71 million. That's what I think happened.
Stroman just got here, already a distraction. Well, that's very telling.
Just wait till he's got Paul Sullivan in his locker and this one and that one.
I don't think he meant a distraction in that way. I think he meant he's trying to distract the fans, like, look over here, we've got Marcus Stroman, and we're going to do nothing else. Like, distracting us from the fact that they're still being cheap because of biblical losses.
Yeah, I think they're going to be more active. That's what I keep hearing. But we'll see. Talk is cheap. We'll find out. All right. Me versus Dan Wiederer. Not so much. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But Dan's going to join us, and we'll discuss the Chicago Bears next.
That's a lie.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Cap J Hood rolling on ESPN 1000. Danny, JR, Jeff will be hosting with Carmen today. Yerk's got the day off. 312-332-3776. Don't forget at 9:50 what the great Jonathan Hood knows about college football. Five things he will give you for this weekend's conference title games. Dan Wiederer is our friend from the Chicago Tribune. He works here at ESPN 1000 as well. He's all over the Bears beat, and he joins us now. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Six games left, fellas. Six games left.
I know. Boy, I tell you, I feel like I'm wasting my Sundays watching this slog of a season. But you know what? It's what we do, Dan.
We do. You got a nice game on Thanksgiving morning to ease you into your day. Obviously, a really well-played football game on that Thursday. And now you get to see the Bears play the best two teams in the NFC the next 2 weeks.
So let's talk about the quarterback position. Justin was limited in practice yesterday. Someone who was there said to me, he looked better than we actually thought he would, throwing the ball and being mobile with cracked ribs. Do you think there's any chance he starts the game on Sunday against the Cardinals at Soldier Field?
Yeah, I certainly think there's a chance. I think they have to kind of see how things evolved overnight, you know, whether that day of practice yesterday in a limited fashion did anything to aggravate the pain and the discomfort that he's under. What you just said is what I shared yesterday with Waddle and Sylvie, that in watching Justin with my own eyes during the very limited window of practice that was open yesterday, he was moving around pretty good. He was throwing the ball with more velocity than I expected him to with the ribs injury, and he didn't seem to be in any sort of significant pain. And so I think now it's just sort of a combination of pain tolerance and can you put him in a position to be both safe and successful, and they're just going to have to kind of watch that evolve over the next couple of days.
How do you look at Dalton's performance versus the lack of offense and lack of running game offensively against the Lions?
Look, Andy is steady at times, right? Look, he threw an interception in the end zone, which actually was a really good play by the cornerback. He had another interception in the end zone that was dropped. And so in my opinion, those two kind of canceled each other out. He had one that should have been an interception that wasn't, and one that probably shouldn't have been and was. They still only scored 16 points. I think what the Bears look for when Andy Dalton is playing football for them is a guy that's not going to make a bunch of game-changing mistakes, right? Mistakes that lose you a football game. And Andy did enough to keep them around in that game, made enough plays on that final 8.5-minute drive to make sure that their rock bottom didn't get any lower than it already was in a very turbulent week. And so it is what it is, right? I mean, he's just there, right? He's a placeholder for now until Justin's ready to go again. And, you know, in that role, he's steady enough, and he's a confident and composed enough leader to keep you on track.
As you look at all the nonsense that goes on with this franchise, and the rule has... There's a lot of it. And you've been on the beat since, what, 2013?
Correct.
Okay, so you can go back to Mark Trestman and Bruce Arians, and they pick the wrong dude. Then they get rid of Phil Emery, and they bring in Ryan, and they take Kevin White, and they trade up for Mitch Trubisky. Like, move after move after move after move doesn't work. And then we have this report from Mark Conkle. He's out after Thanksgiving. He already knows it, and then it doesn't happen. Well, the rules have changed, Dan, where you can interview candidates for your coaching job who are on other staffs in the NFL weeks 16 and 17.
17 and 18,
sorry, because we added an extra game. Do you believe there is a definite possibility Matt is out before then? Because you can't very well have Matt on the field or in his office looking at tape going, why is George's light on here? Oh, Byron Leftwich is in there right now.
Look, I think there's a possibility, but I think the natural follow-up question is who is – overseeing that search.
That was my next question.
The person handling the interviewing of the next potential head coach, because if you want to do those interviews in week 17 and 18, that almost entrusts Ryan to continue along in the role that he's currently in. Because look, this franchise, I think, is becoming increasingly aware, and they're always the last to know, that they need to make a major shakeup inside their building if they want any prayer of changing the results that we get year after year after year. And so to do that, you have to have a vision. You have to have direction. You have to know who's calling the shots and when they're calling them. And they're at a very pivotal stage of their organization right now. And it's up to the folks up at the top of the food chain, George and Ted and anybody that's above them, to come up with a plan on if we are going to change coaches, which everyone in the world expects them to do, are we also changing general managers? If we're changing general managers, how do we get these hires done in an order that makes sense and allows us to have the best possible regime going into 2022. You have to have confidence in your organization to make those decisions. No one in the outside world currently has any confidence in the people that make the calls up at Halas Hall.
Could you clarify something for me regarding Justin Fields and Andy Dalton? Like, how much does George McCaskey has a say in some of the moves that are made at Halas Hall?
Yeah, I mean, Hoodie, if you're asking whether my intel indicates that George was involved in the permanent switch to Justin in week 5, my answer is no, he was not. And so I hate to bring that to the table here. My
That's okay. We can agree to disagree. That's all.
Yeah,
I just want to hear
fine.
I just want to hear his angle. I've heard your angle for months now. I just want to hear his angle. Go ahead.
Again, you have to ask yourself some very serious questions on that topic. If you think that happened in week 5, you have to remember that Justin Fields had already made two starts, right, out of an emergency because Andy was hurt, correct?
Yeah.
The Bears, at the time that they named Justin the full-time starter, were 2-2. They were where everyone in the world thought they were going to be after 4 games, and we all said, okay, then starts a 6-game stretch that will define where the season goes. I have no clue why George McCaskey, who has always given the people below him free reign to do their jobs without any interference, would suddenly, at that stage in the game, at 2-2, inject himself in the process, torpedo his general manager, insist that the rookie quarterback, who had just looked like a disaster in week three against the Browns, had to be the immediate starter for week five and beyond. And in so doing, basically told Ryan and Matt that everything that he told them in January and entrusting them to come up with a plan and a vision for this team was moot, because he was now going to be the guy calling the shot. It didn't happen. There were discussions that were heated amongst other people in the building about what they should be doing with the quarterback position. But the idea that George suddenly became this guy who jumped in there and made an absolute demand that couldn't be denied is not consistent with what I've been told or heard or reported.
Okay, so then, and I'm not disputing what you're saying, but can you explain then why Matt would stand there and you were in that room? Let me be clear.
Yes.
If Andy's healthy, Andy's the one, Justin's the two, Nick's the three. Next question. And then less than 24 hours later, Justin Fields was called to his office. Hey, man, we're going to roll with you, and you're the guy. Don't look over your shoulder. You're the long-term answer. What changed in 24 hours when he was so definitive to the media?
Two things changed. You have an organization that is well-documented as being very clumsy with their messaging, right? Mm-hmm. And not necessarily saying things at a lectern that are true, right? And not really understanding how to craft a message that gives the outside world a sense of how clear you are in your own vision. Other things that happen behind closed doors in football organizations are that after you play a game, the coaches watch film, they go back and they meet amongst themselves, and they have very serious discussions about what the direction of the team is. When Justin Fields showed that he could bounce back from the disaster in Cleveland with a very steady week, right? It wasn't just the performance that allowed them to beat the Lions in week four. It was the way that Justin quickly steadied himself after a first NFL start that for a lot of guys would have been shell-shocking, right? And you would have had wide eyes and rattled nerves and a lot of things that would have affected the preparation for the next week. There were discussions behind closed doors that this kid is mentally tough enough and ready to handle the dips in the roller coaster without freaking out. And so internally they said, listen, if that's the case, then why are we going to delay our future quarterback's development just because we believe in Andy Dalton as a starter, when this kid is showing us with the way he prepares and the way he's able to steady himself that he's able to get his development going by being on the field and not being at risk of being haunted by the struggles and the failures that he has as part of the growth process? Those discussions were had. There was back and forth. They ultimately decided it was time to, for the best interest of the future of this organization, it was time to turn Justin loose and let him go to work. And that's how it unfolded.
Dan, you know, at the end of every season, George always says that he doesn't like the medal. I will say this, that the report that we read that George was there to talk to the team on, was it Tuesday or Wednesday, to say that
Wednesday
to say that that report from the patch was not true. So that's the reason why I asked the thing about George, is because George usually didn't say anything, said something to the team where I thought, well, if anyone's going to do that job, shouldn't it be the general manager saying that that report's not true? Ryan Pace?
Well, somebody needed to do that, and somebody needed to do it a lot sooner than Wednesday afternoon as the team was getting ready to get on a flight to Detroit. Well, and we can talk all we want about how insane the loss to the Ravens was. What happened in those 72 hours after that loss is absolutely mind-blowing. And I've got people around the league calling me unsolicited, asking, what the heck is going on up there, and how are they unable to control things in a way that limits their humiliation and their embarrassment? Everything that happened through the duration of last week was an embarrassment for the organization, and I'm not sure that internally they recognize that enough to say, hey, guys, maybe we should have a meeting soon to discuss why that went so haywire and what we need to do in the future to avoid it from going so haywire. And so, Hoodie, your question is valid, because George had to inject himself in that situation because things had spiraled so far out of control and there was so much confusion swirling around and the organization was getting dragged through the mud for justifiable reasons in a lot of different ways, that players, Cole Kmet told us after the game on Thursday that he was, you know, shaken and trying to sift facts from fiction and truth from rumor and was struggling to stay focused because of all the things that the organization allowed to sort of run out there unchecked. Eventually, your chairman had to go in the locker room, tell the players, Matt's not going to be fired. Relax. You've got, you know, this week, probably a couple more beyond this with Matt as your head coach. Get yourself back steady and go. But it's just a snapshot into how much disarray exists inside this organization. And as you guys are well aware, it's not an isolated incident.
All right. So before we let you go, we're reading a Jonathan Jones report. Yeah. The Bears would be the top job on the market for a number of reasons. most importantly, it's a charter franchise in the best sports city in the country, and anyone knows they come in here and win, you are a hero forever. Do you believe it's a job that would be at the top of the food chain based on what we think's going to happen in the offseason, and that quality candidates actually would go, yeah, I don't care about George and Ted. They're going to pay me my money, and I'm going to get power. I'm in.
They won't say I don't care, but I can tell you with absolute certainty that there are dozens of people for both roles that would jump at this job in a heartbeat. And there is an idea that, you know, with the way that there's some anticipation of what the landscape will look like in the next month, month and a half, with what jobs will be coming open, that Chicago will absolutely be an attractive destination, perhaps the best job on the board for a lot of these candidates, because of all the things that you mentioned, that this is an iconic franchise. It does have a world-class city. You are in an area where the fan base is so passionate and so revved up that when this, yeah, I mean, guys, 01, 05, 06, 10, right? Those are the seasons, 18 in the last century here, in this century, where the city came alive, and that electricity is undeniable. And people around the league understand that. And they say, if I can go in there and succeed, how GD fun could that be for me, my staff, and everyone around me to be able to lift that organization? So absolutely. They also have the quarterback position locked in. Listen, the flaws are acknowledged. People on the outside say, look, you're going to have to rebuild a lot of the roster. You've got salary cap issues. You don't have a first-round draft pick for 2022. There are hurdles to overcome, but boy, it's a challenge I would like to take on, and I don't think they're going to have any difficulty attracting candidates. Now, can they choose the right one? You tell me.
Probably not. Have a wonderful rest of your day, Dan.
All right, fellas.
Appreciate
enjoy the weekend.
It.
Hoodie, if you need to do something else this weekend, I give you free rein to skip Bears-Cardinals on Sunday and just go enjoy your Sunday.
Oh, you're a good man. Thank you very much, Dan Wiederer. No matter what Cap says, you are a good egg.
I appreciate you. Happy holidays.
Oh, stop. You know I like you, Dan, very, very much.
Notice he didn't say love. Thank you, Dan. We appreciate it.
I did notice. I'm down, down in the power rankings. My spot in the power rankings, I'm down at like 14. I'm down in the, I think I might be down in Biggs territory now.
No,
we'll just...
No.
No, worse than that. All right. When till we get off the air?
That son of a bitch.
Okay. Oh, record that for me and send it to me.
Love you, Dan.
How about that?
See you, fellas.
See ya. There he is, the great Dan Wiederer. Back to your calls about MLB lockout and what the Cubs and White Sox are doing to improve their teams. Next.
Okay. Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
With the great Jonathan Hood, I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776.
Hey, man, when are we going to have Steve Stone on?
I don't know.
Well, I'll give him a call, pal. Should give him a call.
Let's get him on.
He's a free agent.
He is a free agent.
Yep.
That's it.
Give him a call. I'll be glad to hear his thoughts about this free agency and this lockout nonsense.
Stoney, what do you think, kid?
I know his Sox thoughts. I'd like to get his thoughts about the lockout.
Done.
Like to, yeah, what time is Stone coming on?
I will make the call today.
I'm sure he has a lot of long thoughts, right?
He does. Danny, book 2 hours.
Might be a great podcast.
Oh!
You're better than that, Danny.
No, you're saying 2 hours. I mean, you can't cram Steve Stone into 13 minutes. I mean, we keep the clock on this show.
No, we can cram it in 13 minutes. Cap will ask the first question, and we'll let him go.
That's it. And we'll just go home.
Pretty much. Have a sandwich.
Jay Hood. They're at home because Stoney's the answer.
So that's
love Stoney.
That's fine.
My guy. Anyway.
You were saying about Major League Baseball and the lockout.
Yes.
What are you saying?
So the Cubs get Marcus Stroman last night. The White Sox have finalized the Kendall Graveman. And now the lockout has hit. And we don't know when it's going to end. When both sides are going to truly get down to brass tacks and go, let's go.
I'm just surprised that you're not more frustrated at this. I thought you were a baseball fan.
I am. My favorite sport.
But, I mean, the idea that this is happening since the first time since the All-Star game was at Wrigley in 1990.
That there was a lockout.
Yeah.
But first time there's a labor stoppage since 94 when it cost the White Sox and the Expos the two best records in the game a chance to meet in the World Series.
National League starter in that All-Star game, Jack Armstrong.
Who?
Remember Jack Armstrong?
From the Reds?
Yep. Remember?
Vaguely.
I remember it.
Very vaguely.
I don't know what happened yesterday, but I remember that.
I had one as a kid. You could stretch them really far. And
you know what, JR?
Keep your beak up.
Where are you? Where's JR? You keep your beak out of it, JR.
Heaven's sake. Let's go to the phone.
I didn't say stretch Armstrong.
Taylor in Hyde Park. Hi, Taylor.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Taylor, how's business, man? How's the business?
You know, it's booming and bunking. You know how what the kids say nowadays.
That's right. Your business really slaps. Yes, I know.
Skyrocketing, as they call it.
Right, right.
This is the problem I have with the White Sox. As we mentioned yesterday, they have a ton of opportunity to take advantage of this opportunity. You kind of have like a 5-year window with this team, the way it's set up. You look at what the Cubs did in 5 years. You look at what the Houston Astros have did in 5 years. You kind of have this 5-year window.
That's awesome.
We're on year 3, right? And so why not go after a guy like Max Scherzer? Why not go after and go get a Stroman? Why not go after and have a big signing? Because you need it. The pitching was what failed us in the postseason. So I don't see why you don't go after those guys. I don't see why you don't go after, you know, Schwarber, a big bat. We need these things. If we go into the postseason or this season with the same squad as last year, with a utility player or two, that's not going to get it done. We have to take advantage of this 5-year window, and we're on year 3. So I don't see why you don't go after a guy like Scherzer, you don't go after a guy like Stroman. It sucks that the Cubs on the north side are going to win 60 games, and they went after and got, you know, their second ace, if you will. So I just don't understand why the White Sox are kind of standing still.
Well, because as Buster Olney said, Yankees, Dodgers, Giants, who was the other one he mentioned? Red Sox.
Yeah, all the major market
Cubs,
teams.
These big, deep-pocketed teams are all saying, you make the best deals a little bit later in the winter. Well, that's when you get guys for a lot cheaper. So that's why they're waiting. They're saying, we appreciate the call, Taylor. There's still 300-plus free agents out there. A lot of good players.
Yeah, it's too bad that the owners and the players can't come together so we can be talking about free agency again this morning. We're talking about what happened, but now it's locked out. I don't know how this gets better. And I'll tell you one thing. We should say it now before anyone else says it. The owners will dig their heels in because they have the money. Mm-hmm. If the players still don't want to come to the table, or if they don't want to be able to compromise, the owners will stand still. They will. And the owners will probably get on top of this thing and win it. More. I think it's more likely that they will, right? They'll get what they want.
I think there's going to be more compromise, though, this time than there has been in the past, because the players have been warned, save your money, put money away to pay your bills. We're going to dig in this time. We're not getting beaten like we did in 2016.
Do you realize very few owners and players say, you know, this is bad for the game?
Right.
I mean, someone on the record. Like,
there's a gag order.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like. You will, even if it's a gag order, you know that there's going to be some insider that will say, one owner told me this is horrific for the game. A sport that's going backwards.
Correct.
A sport that's way too regional, right? The only time that we get excited is for the playoffs because the regular season is so long. Look, it's in my veins, right? Mm-hmm. I'll never turn my back on baseball, but you're hurting yourself from within by having a lockout like this. It's not right.
If it drags into where stops the start of spring training, you will start to hear people say things. But from what I've been told, the commissioner has told the owner, if you get quoted, there will be massive fines levied. So we'll see. But somebody will leak. If it continues,
yes,
somebody will say something.
You're just hurting a game that's already had a lot of black eyes.
Yep.
A lot of them.
So 312-332-3776. Whoa. Sorry about that. That's fine. Jason in Des Moines. Hey, Jason. I got to get more.
Hey, good morning, Phil. How are we doing?
What's up?
Well, I guess Cap's doing fine. I'm struggling here. I'm struggling. If you don't come in here with this fine money, man, like, what are we going to do here? You know what?
I'll have fine money tomorrow.
Don't bring us a couple bucks. Phones on, mic off. Are you high?
No.
Did you get high last night?
No, I was working.
Would you be willing to take a piss test after the show?
Yes.
100%.
All right.
100%.
Go ahead, Jason. Did you get high last night, Jason?
I wish. I was on the road working, but yeah, I feel you.
All right.
I have a capothetical and then a question.
Okay.
My capothetical is if there is smoke in the fire of the Cubs looking at Correa, and let's say that comes to fruition, is it crazy then to think that now we get these two guys that we could possibly lure someone like Freddie Freeman?
Zero. Zero. Less than zero chance. He's probably not leaving the Braves, but they're not signing a 32, almost 33-year-old first baseman, or they'd have kept Anthony Rizzo.
Okay. I agree. But then my question is, a caller said it a few calls ago back when we were talking about the Cubs with mental health. My question is, I've never understood the love affair with Ian Happ, because I go back to the Cubs have been horrible with finding that leadoff guy. And when we had Fowler, he wasn't drop dead fantastic, but there was something to say about team chemistry when he was here. And as a leadoff hitter, we just seemed like a better team. So that's my question, and the love affair with Ian Happ that I've never understood, because he's awful.
Yeah,
Thanks, boys, I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. I don't think I would co-sign awful. He had an awful start to his season, but if you go back over the last 2 months, he had almost 300. He looked like he had rediscovered his stroke at the plate. He's a solid defender. He's a good dude. Makes a hell of a cup of coffee. So, yeah, it's not like you're paying this guy a long-term big-money deal. You gave him 1 year. That's it. 1 year. You tendered him a contract. He was the 9th pick overall. Give it a shot. See what happens.
Squeeze in one more.
Okay, real fast. Mike in Logan Square.
Fellas, I know we're not talking Bulls right now, but I needed to get this in real quick.
We're talking sports. So you talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's
that's
fine.
It.
My goon, I love you, hoodie. So look, real quick, you guys said the other day, and I agree with you 100%. If the Bulls make their threes, they can beat anyone in the NBA. Please, wow. I need your help, Cap. You're the real mayor of Chicago, bro. I need your help, man. Can we get JJ Redick off the couch? Let's get this in the universe.
I would love J.J. Redick here. I'm a huge fan, but I think he's moved on to his TV career. I do.
Man, but he just wanted to be close to New York. I mean, that's an hour and a half flight.
Danny, how much money has J.J. Redick made? Mike, thanks, man. Have a great rest of your week, okay?
As a basketball player, he's a fine podcaster. I mean, that's what he does now. He's a podcaster and a TV personality. Look, he has been a vagabond all over this league. He's played for a lot of different places.
Yep.
It was just time, man. And by the way, he's not the only guy that can be able to shoot, knock down threes. There's plenty of them around the league.
How much money did he make?
Well, let's play my favorite game. How much money do you think J.J. Redick's made? His first year in the league was 06-07. His last year was 2021.
I'm going to say J.J. Redick has made $164 million.
Hoodrow.
All right, how much was it, Danny?
It was $118 million.
I'd say that if you want to come back and play, the guy can fill it up. He can make buckets in his sleep. But I think he's moved on to his media career.
Yeah, he's done.
He's done. Back to your calls about the MLB lockout, what the Cubs and Sox are doing, and what Jonathan Hood knows about college football. Five things, and I'll give you the best bet on the college football board. That's right.
Oh,
that's all next.
I like it.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Five things my friend Jonathan Hood knows about college football, and I'm going to give you the best bet on the college board this weekend.
All right, my friend.
I got two of them. I got a two-team parlay for you.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, JR, here we go. Five things I know about college football. Week 14 in college football. Oh, it's my favorite sport in the fall. Yes! So much movement happening, but first let me tell you about Notre Dame. So we found out last night, Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator, is the new coach for the Irish. And also Tommy Rees is going to stay as the offensive coordinator. So it seems like second verse, same as the first. No more Kelly, but some of the other coaches are staying for the recruits and for the good of the program.
Tommy want Wingy. He's getting a nice raise.
Yes, good for him.
Hey, Mrs. Rees, well, that was yesterday. Tommy came home, we got our pay like tripled.
However, good for Marcus Freeman, too. There was a long list of candidates that the Irish could have went with, but Swarbrick says, you know what, we're going to keep stay in-house. And you know what, it's a youthful enthusiasm that comes from Freeman, right?
Yep.
People said, oh, maybe he's a little bit too young. No, no, actually, it's probably right on time for this because you need leadership at this point in time, and you want kids to stay. So familiarity matters to a lot of these kids that's going to be on this Irish team. So congratulations to Marcus Freeman, the new head coach for the Irish. Number two, you know what? The committee cap got it right. Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Bama 3, Cincinnati 4, Ohio State 5, and Notre Dame 6. The committee got it right. However, the Danny Zetterman in me says that there should be more controversy, right? Listen, by the time you get to the end of this thing, you know exactly who's going to be 1 through 5, 1 through 6. But, you know, the committee didn't mix it up enough for me, right? Not enough controversy. Of course, if you take a look at those six, that's exactly where you'd go. But you got to have controversy. I've seen this whole unveiling of these college football teams, like at basketball games, at halftime, and on ESPN. Look, man, if you're going to build this up as a TV event, have some controversy in it, man. Make people think. Make people say, that ain't right. That's what I want more of.
Take that.
That's what I like. That's number two. Number three. Mike Tirico wanted Waddle and Silva yesterday, talking about why there's been so much movement with some of the college coaches. Let's hear from Mike Tirico.
This is the fault of moving up this signing day. And here's what I mean by that. They moved the signing day up to December so the guys could sign early, so they didn't have to wait till February and go through the whole holidays with the uncertainty. Trying to do a solid for the high school players. What does that do? That fast forwards every college coaching decision because you want to have a coach in place who can recruit for 2 weeks to bring in a good class. So that's why we've seen more than ever guys get fired during the season. So while there was good intent for the high school players, what it's done is it's forced more early firings in college football and ruined the seasons and the experience for the student athletes at the schools where they let the USC coach go early and then these schools who are waiting for the playoff. Otherwise, this wouldn't be happening with this set of timing. So another set of the NCAA not really seeing what was going on.
So some thoughts there from Mike Tirico on this. You can hear that interview's entirety on the Waddle and Sylvie feed on the ESPN Chicago app. Great conversation with the voice of the Irish, Mike Tirico, on that. And it's true. The early signing days moved up. And I can't remember a Black Monday so early. So early. I mean, look, it was just late November, early December, and so much movement with so many major programs.
Because you got to get your guys signed or you're flushing multiple years of your program.
At number four. Number four.
Wake up, JR.
Iowa against Michigan for the Big Ten Championship. You know, we've been giving an opportunity for our listeners to go to the Big Ten Championship, and here you are. You're going to have one of our listeners will be able to see Michigan against Iowa. Michigan's coming off a huge win against Ohio State. Michigan's 11-point favorite against Iowa. I'm not sure about the 11 cap, but I do know on the money line, Michigan's going to win the game. I feel like after getting over the hump of finally beating Ohio State, I think that Michigan will be able to find a way to get it done. So Michigan wins that game against Iowa. And by the way, I know some will say, well, of course, that's what you're supposed to do, right? If you're a Michigan program, you're supposed to beat Ohio State. But you know what? I think that Jim Harbaugh, he turned into a baby face, a good guy. Because there was this thing where he can get past Ohio State. Maybe he wasn't the right guy. But I think there was people that were genuinely happy for Harbaugh for Michigan to finally beat Ohio State. It was a good story.
It was a great story. And by the way, you did mention our Dr. Pepper by Big Ten game of the week we previewed throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And Bob Lees is the winner of the trip to the Big Ten title game. He gets all expenses paid.
That's awesome. After all those years with ESPN, he gets a free trip.
That's Bob Lee.
Lees.
This is Lees with an S. Two different people.
Steve Levy calls Monday Night Football.
Correct. Steve Levy. Bob Lee, our ESPN. Bob Lee's is some dude out here in the suburbs.
Huh?
Bob Lee's with an S.
And number five. Georgia. Yes, Georgia. Georgia's a 6.5-point favorite against Alabama. The only game that matters, the Bulldogs, will face the Crimson Tide. Now, here's what I'm looking at here. The key, Bama's offensive line holding up quarterback Bryce Young. Now, I watched the game against Auburn with Alabama. Let me tell you, man, dude, that offensive line was a sieve. Young had no chance back there. It was not good. And again, this offensive line for the Crimson Tide will take on a dominant UGA defense. We watched Devontae Wyatt. We'll see Dean at the cornerback position for this UGA team. I really feel good about my Bulldogs. Not great. I feel really good about it. You know why? Because Georgia has been the nail and Alabama's been the hammer.
Bama's going to win.
And that's the problem.
Come on, you give Nick Saban six.
Merkin, keep your beak out of the show.
Stop it. You guys haven't played anyone all year.
You keep your beak.
He's got him.
All year.
He's got him. Go get him, Hoodie.
Keep your beak out of it, Merkin. Keep it out. If I need a if I want a Wisconsin take, I won't ask for you for it.
How about that?
Anyway. I feel good about my Georgia Bulldogs getting the job done against Alabama for once.